Last but certainly not least, we have two items pulled from the consent agenda. I'd like to read them together. That is item 412 and item 415.
412, pay property damage claim of Larry Anderson in the sum of $9,829 involving the Portland Police Bureau, and 415, pay property damage and injury claims of Julie and Robert Wells in the sum of $45,000 involving the Portland Police Bureau.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Karen Bond. I'm here with from Risk Management. And with me today is Assistant Chief Chris Davis, and also from the City Attorney's Office, Scott Modi. If you have any questions for them afterwards, they're here to answer those. These two emergency ordinances are for the same incident. It was kind of a long playing out incident that happened on May 28th, 2017, over in the Laurelhurst neighborhood. Someone called police saying there was a gentleman with a handgun in their neighborhood, and so officers responded to the neighborhood. The first officer there did engage this gentleman with the handgun in front of the Wells's home. And the Wells's home, it actually sits upon a berm that's a grassy berm that's several feet above the sidewalk and the street. When the officer got there, he did have his bureau issued shotgun. Is it called shotgun? Okay. And he was giving commands to this gentleman to please drop his weapon. He refused. The officer felt that that berm would take any impact from the shotgun. So as he was firing, he thought they were hitting the berm, but actually they were going a little bit high and they were actually impacting the Wells' home. So it entered the front and it went inside of their home. The buckshot and the impacts. The Wells's initially sent me an estimate, or sent Risk Management an estimate for repairs to their home for $78,000. Risk Management hired an independent appraiser who came back with a damage assessment of $20,000, and we kind of went back and forth, got some different numbers, and in the end, the Wells met with the mayor's office, and they agreed to settle their property damage claim and any injury claim for $45,000. This ordinance would allow Risk Management to go ahead and pay that $45,000 to the Wells's to settle their claim or claims. The second part of this ordinance is for Larry Anderson. When the officer engaged the gentleman in front of the Wells' home, the shots didn't hit the gentleman. The subject disappeared into the neighborhood. He later reemerged in front of the Mr. Anderson's home. Mr. Anderson had just moved his boat and trailer from his driveway into the street at the curb the day before this happened. The subject was hiding behind the boat and trailer on the sidewalk. The officers were in the street behind a police car for shield. The officers were again giving commands to the subject to please drop his weapon. He refused. At one point, it appeared that he was pointing his weapon at the officers, and so they began to discharge their firearms. Those impacts actually hit the boat and the trailer. And damaged Mr. Anderson's boat trailer. We sent out an independent appraiser. His boat was deemed a total loss, and we came back with the value of $9,829 for the amount of the boat trailer. Mr. Anderson has agreed to that amount, and so the approval of this ordinance would allow us to pay that to him. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. So I understand this is a property damage claim, but I assume it also leads to a reevaluation of tactics and potentially training. For example, backstop training. Is that correct, AC Davis?
In general, yes. I mean, there are, without getting into corrective action in specific cases, there are individual training issues and there are bureau training and equipment issues, and we've looked at both as a result of this case.
Thank you. Colleagues, any questions?
Was the suspect eventually apprehended?
He was several hours later in a different neighborhood. But he was eventually, yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Public testimony?
Dan Handelman pulled this.
Come on up, sir. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning again. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch once again, and we've had this item pulled because it's about the shooting or the shooting with no hits of Michael Grubby last May. I had to dig through the paperwork to figure that out because there's no mention of his name anywhere or the police officers using bullets mentioned anywhere in the paperwork that was filed. I noticed they were both incidents that happened on the same day as the shooting, and that's how I figured it out. I think that in a city where we're trying to be transparent and open about our police accountability issues, I think it would be better to put these things on the public agenda. I understand this is not directly about the use of force, but this is the most I've heard about this incident since it happened almost a year ago. I'm glad that we had a presentation from members of the city staff to tell us what's going on a little bit. So the the Portland police shot up this neighborhood with multiple rounds, including those that hit the home of the Wells family. While the family told the Oregonian they weren't upset with the police, that would have quickly changed if one of their loved ones had been hit by one of those bullets. This is the neighborhood, after all, where 12-year-old Nathan Thomas was shot accidentally by police as he was being held hostage by an intruder inside his home. Sure, it was 26 years ago, but the city, which promotes community policing and trauma-informed care, should realize the implications of a police shooting in that area. Instead, as we understand it, neighbors have been asking for an explanation of what happened and the results of the PPB's police review board hearing, and the police have so far refused to meet with the neighbors to explain what happened. So do the Wells and Anderson families deserve compensation for what the police did to their homes and property? Yes. But that doesn't mean the city should avoid the discussion about officer-involved shooting when the investigations are done and they can't hide behind this new veil of not wanting to taint the grand jury. And just while I have a few seconds left, we look at the city council agenda every week to see if there's any lawsuits being resolved. And I think in the last several years, a lot of cases have been being resolved outside of the city council purview, and I realize that you don't have to hear anything when it's under $5,000, but I would like to get some kind of accounting through either the Bureau or through the Risk Management Department of how many times people have sued the city over use of force and other misconduct and how much money has been being paid out, because that used to be regularly available and we haven't had those discussions here.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Mayor, what's the response of, are the investigations all done, and why could the neighborhood not know about that?
AC Davis, could I call you back to the rostrum, please? I think you heard the commissioner's question, or do you need her to repeat it?
Sure, and the investigation is done. I believe up to the police review board, I would have to go back and check and make sure that the final piece of that is done where the chief has reached the final determination of in or out of policy. But I can check into that and get back to you on what stage that's at.
Well, if I was in that community, and of course I am a community member of Portland, I would want to know more about the answer to the mayor's question about what training, both individually and throughout the Bureau, has been done in and have there been any protocol changes in response to this incident. I agree that we should be paying the claim. And I'm always, whenever we pay a claim, I want to know what have we done to make sure, to try to minimize the chance of this happening again. So is there a way that the Bureau is allowed to meet with the neighborhood to talk about those issues, about the training issues?
I would have to consult with the city attorney's office, because the tension here in this case is between any issue that we've addressed with a specific employee versus the larger picture. I can tell you that as a result of this incident, as a Bureau, we have looked at the sighting system that is on these shotguns to make sure that's the best tool, or if maybe there's something better out there, and the training division is in the process of looking at that right now.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful, because obviously we don't identify individual officers in their if there is any discipline that comes in, a kind of a summary report to avoid embarrassment to the officer,
right.
I believe is the wording in the police contract. And the part that we could share is about the training, the follow-up, those kinds of things.
Sure. And like I said, I mean, I can tell you definitively that we've looked at the citing system in this case, because, you know, at least in terms of organizational issues that we've identified as a result of this incident, we always look at training and organizational issues whenever we have one of these events, because ideally we'd like to avoid having them. And, you know, we'd like to have better outcomes. But that is a specific issue in this case that we've looked at in the training division to make sure that we can prevent this kind of thing from happening in the future.
Yeah. Well, with the passage of this ordinance, the families being, both the homeowners, the property owners are being made whole, it seemed like a sense of closure. And as Mr. Handelman pointed out, particularly in a neighborhood that undoubtedly still remembers the Nathan Thomas incident, it would be a good kind of closure to the whole thing. So I would just encourage you to maybe have a community policing officer attend their neighborhood meeting or something like that.
Well, we can certainly look into that.
Thank you.
Very good. And colleagues, I just want you to know also, I have met with both of the families, and my staff has met with both of the families in some cases multiple times. And I think all of us agreed that we wanted to move on from this. And in part, that's reflected in the settlement agreement that we have here today. Very good. Please call the roll on 412.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
And just to be clear, this is the property damage claim of Larry Anderson. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Please call 415.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted, and we are adjourned until 2 p.m.